Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
All right, we are live at the Democrat National Convention here in Chicago, and what a show we have planned for you today. What a show, and no surrogates. None. Nobody will come on with us. No one. We've been asking. Even John Fetterman won't come on with us. I mean, come on. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. I got to make sure I'm not too loud for my fellow broadcasters who are here, but it's a little low energy in the media row room, don't you think? A little bit, like tiny. We got to pick it up, pick up the energy. A couple hours. It's going to crack, rank it up. All right. I'm looking at you. I'm counting on you for that, all right? Because this is low energy compared to the RNC, anyway. But here's what I do know. I do know, though, that I just got my vasectomy and a taco at the same truck right across the street. So it was able. You got a free vasectomy and two tacos. They were vegan, of course, for $4.99. It was great. They were vegan fish tacos, and that's right next to the abortion van too that they have set up outside. So it's really one stop shopping for everybody. We are also going to talk to Laura Trump today, and we will get her reaction to everything that's going on. Congresswoman Kat Kamick's going to stop by, my buddy from Florida, and JD Vance was just in Philly. You heard that? So I got invited to his rally by my buddy Val, but I had to be out here in Chicago. I have not tried the deep dish pizza yet. I'm not going to because it's not pizza. We are in a city where a casserole can identify as a pizza, for a convention, for a party that says a person can also identify as a pizza. So it really works out well. It works out well for everybody. And in addition to that, the Chicago hot dog is not being sold in the arena right now because there's a Vienna beef place that is not open, which frustrates me because I really, really am down to try a Chicago hot dog. But in the meantime, Matt DeSantis already had deep dish pizza, as you'd expect, from a local Sheetz. Actually, they don't have Sheetz out here. They have Sheetz back home in PA. And Kamala Harris went to a Sheetz, and as our buddy David Urban reminds us, I guess she forgot how the Biden-Harris administration is going after Sheetz, suing them. And apparently they forgot. The Biden administration decided to sue Sheetz, which is, that's John Fetterman's favorite convenience store. He likes it better than Wawa. We're Wawa people, of course. But if you're up by Pittsburgh, you're up that way, you're probably going to hit up Sheetz. Fair enough. But it's a great place. And if you're driving through Western PA or going up to Penn State or something, you're probably stopping at a Sheetz. But here's the thing. The Biden administration is suing Sheetz for requiring criminal background checks of their employees. And I guess Kamala Harris forgot that when she visited a Sheetz. And Selena Zito pointed out, she wrote this back in April of this year, that this is going to make a lot of people very upset. And she said the Biden lawsuit against Sheetz was going to enrage Pennsylvania voters. But you see, the Democrats didn't want anyone to have to go through a background check. They found that to be racist or sexist or both. I don't really know. So they decided to go after them for this. But then she goes in there and she panders and pretends to everybody like, oh yeah, look at me. I'm just a regular person coming by. It has been open ever since. Sheetz is a very, very famous convenience store, as you know. But they decided that they want to make sure their employees can pass a background check. The Democrats have made a war on background checks, IDs of any sort, as you know. However, getting here to the Democrat National Convention, multiple security checkpoints, you have to have an ID. I don't know about you, and I can't show you my credential on the air because we're streaming live on YouTube. We're going to be streaming live on YouTube all week. And the lighting's not great because all the fluorescent lights are coming down on top of me and beaming on top of me. So I had to put an extra toupee on today, but it's all good. I don't know about you, but if the Democrats are always screaming that it's racist to have an ID, how do they justify requiring identification for somebody to come to the Democrat National Convention? I'd like to know that. I'd like to understand that. How do they get away with that? There's a lot of people here who apparently it was incredibly racist of them to ask these people, these individuals, to come up with documentation to prove who they were so they could be able to get through a Secret Service checkpoint to be able to participate in democracy. Now, wait, before you say to me, yeah, but their argument is that voting is a right. Well, isn't participating in our democracy a right? So let's say you're an elected delegate. You get elected as a delegate or chosen as a delegate by your state, depending on how it works. But you don't have ID. So you can't come and be part of the Democrat process because you don't have ID? How does that work? No, really. I mean, imagine this. They always say that it's racist to have to ask for identification, and it's a way to keep black voters from voting. I've seen a lot of black delegates here at the DNC, and it's only day one. So now you won your position as a delegate to the Democrat National Convention, and they say to you, great, congratulations. Now, in order for you to come and participate in democracy, I'm using air quotes here, democracy, you need to show ID so you can get your Secret Service credentials and your DNC credentials so you can take part in it and vote for Kamala Harris to be the nominee of the party and Tim Walz to be the VP nominee. Now, I'm confused by that because if it's either racist or it's not racist to ask for identification. You're voting for Kamala Harris, I presume, if you're a Democrat National Committee delegate. So they're going to stop you from voting and participating in democracy? Or is this whole thing just a bunch of BS? And everybody's able to prove who they are. And everybody is able to get an ID. Anyone can. Anyone. Because I don't think there's a single person here. And you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think there's a single person here without a credential. I don't think you can get into the arena without a credential. Now, here's how I had to get my credential, just so you know. First of all, I had to take a... And the Secret Service instructions were very clear. I had to take a picture. What if I don't have access to a camera? That's racist too, I think. Not everybody has a camera. So I had to take a picture of my face and send it over with proof of who I was, with some sort of identification, a government-issued identification, in order for me to get my credential. I don't know. So you can require that to vote for the nominee of the party if you're a delegate. But if other people want to say you should use that so that everybody can ensure it's a secure process. Because I'll tell you one thing, this is a secure process tonight. There are no Republicans sneaking in. The protesters, which you're hearing a lot about protesters, just so you understand, as we were driving into Chicago, as we were driving to the hotel, we saw a boarded up Staples right by our hotel. Now, our hotel's in a nice area, but they have all the protesters cordoned off to a certain area. They're not getting within 50 to 100 feet of where we are. Probably longer than that, actually. They're probably not getting within, what would you say, a mile? Probably a mile of this, of where we are inside this convention center at the United Center. They're not getting anywhere near this. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of protesters, whack jobs, because they still have not locked down the crazy vote in their own party. So they're coming out to protest, but they're not going to actually be here. They have a designated protest area. But so you understand, in Chicago, businesses are so worried about this that they have been boarding up stores and boarding up restaurants. And it's a damn shame, too, that that's happening because, well, actually, it's not a damn shame. I'll tell you why. They are making some serious cash. The people that are going out there and putting up the plywood, the people that are putting up the plywood are making serious cash. I'm not kidding you. There's a news report about this. Businesses in downtown. Jimmy, let's cue up cut number 10. Right, so WGN reporter Andrea Medina reporting on this, and I'm not kidding. They're hiring people to go out and put plywood on the windows of the store. So when you went by the Staples, it's all completely boarded up with plywood except for the main entrance, and in all the plywood they have signs that say "We are open, we are open." They're expecting there's going to be mass chaos ensuing, and there will be, just not here by the convention center. It's going to be mass chaos in the downtown part of Chicago, which Mama Zioli is very worried, by the way. And I have audio. She called me and left me not one, but two voicemails this morning warning me to be careful, baby. Okay? To be careful, baby. So I'm going to play those for you in just a moment. But here is WGN reporter Andrea Medina, cut number 10.
We are on Washington and Wabash outside of a Garland building, which houses a number of businesses, including stores and some restaurants and offices. Now, as you can see behind me, you'll notice that the front of the Garland building is covered in plywood. It's basically covering the windows and the door. And that's to be able to protect the building, and I should say the entrance of the building, from any potential unrest that could happen ahead of the, you know, once once the DNC does come around here, since we are anticipating some protests to take place. Now, the Chicago Board of Services says their crews have been busy the last few days boarding up businesses to get ahead of potential damages. Now, so far, they've secured 12 locations around the West Loop, downtown, and Daly Plaza area, with plans to board up additional businesses this weekend as a preventative measure if protests related to the DNC erupt violently.
Additional businesses are going to be boarded up in Chicago. Now, we didn't have this in Milwaukee, just so you know. We were there in Milwaukee. We were live for the Republican National Convention. I didn't see a single business boarded up. Not one. Not one. And, you know, somebody asked a question today. Why are they protesting the Democrat National Convention and not the Republican National Convention? It's a good question, right? It's a good question. The reason why is because these protesters, and they're pro-Palestinian protesters, so they're anti-Israel protesters, they don't like the fact that the Democrat Party, you've got members in there who are siding with Israel. That's what they're angry about. So they expect the Republican Party to stand with Israel because the Republican Party stands with Israel. But the Democrat Party, they don't want it to. So these are their people, the people who are protesting, the people that are probably going to be doing the looting and the pillaging, who are going to be destroying businesses, which the city of Chicago is acknowledging is going to happen. I mean, they're not, think about it. Their answer is not, we are going to make sure that doesn't happen. The city of Chicago, a Democrat-run utopia, right, in a Democrat-run state by that fat portly J.D. Pritzker. I didn't say, I'm trying to be polite, trying to be nice. That they didn't say, we're not going to tolerate that. Think about it. The message is not, we won't tolerate that here in Chicago. You bring your craziness someplace else. No, no, no. The answer from the city of Chicago, the official answer is, we will board up our businesses and we will utilize city resources to help board up businesses with plywood so that nobody is able to fully destroy the businesses. But the message is not, don't try that crap here. Don't try it here. Now, Milwaukee, it was very, very clear that that was not going to occur because the Republicans don't do this. Republican voters don't do this. Who are the people protesting? Who are the people that they're boarding up stores to protect the stores from? Democrats, Democrat voters who are angry at the Democrat Party. You've got members in there like John Fetterman who are standing with Israel. Fetterman, by the way, is not coming to the convention. Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman is not coming here. And he doesn't care. He doesn't want to be part of it. He made that decision a while ago. He says it's not because of the fact that he said all these lefties turn on him because of his support for Israel or his support for a strong southern border. He says he just doesn't want to be part of it. I'm calling BS on that. I'd love to call BS on it to his face in a polite, respectful way, but he won't come on the show. And I'm surprised by that. I really am, because I would give him props. I would say to Senator Fetterman, look, Wawa's better than Sheetz, but you deserve props for saying you want a secure border and that the population of Pittsburgh should not be sneaking into our country illegally every single day. And you should have props for standing with Israel. But he doesn't want to be around the crazy because he sees it every day and he realizes now the message he has to project back to his voters in Pennsylvania is that's not who we are as Democrats, but that's exactly who you are as Democrats. And the Democrat mayor of Chicago and the Democrat governor of Illinois, they're not telling protesters, don't you step foot here. Don't you dare even attempt. You even litter. We will lock you up. No. The message is, we'll board up our stores. We'll send people out with plywood. Think about that and what that says about the Democrat Party today. All right. Big show for you today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Laura Trump, Congresswoman Kat Kamick. We're just getting loaded up live from the DNC in Chicago. Don't go away.
Thanks for listening to the Zeoli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
We are live at the Democrat National Convention in Chicago. Great to be with you today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. You know, there's moving trucks outside the White House right now. U-Haul trucks. I don't believe that story has been debunked. It was a tweet that was put out earlier today. And the question is, will Joe Biden quit tonight? What's going on here? Biden's U-Haul. In a plot twist that can only come from a sitcom, U-Haul trucks were spotted idling outside the White House like vultures, waiting to swoop up their next meal, coinciding with President Biden's so-called farewell address to the DNC. Now, it's made a lot of people question what's going on here. Think about it from this perspective, too. Let's say Biden decides he's going to quit. He's going to get out. Now, there's great reason for him to do that, because he could give Kamala Harris the advantage of being an incumbent, except Kamala Harris is trying to run as the non-incumbent. I mean, her whole entire speech against price gauging last week, which I assume she meant gouging, the whole speech against price gauging last week, and the entire notion that Kamala Harris is going to regulate the economy by going after food producers and the evil grocery stores and all these other things, this is somebody who's going out there and saying, you should hire me to fix the problems that I created. I created these problems for you, and now you should hire me to fix them. It's like when you get a shady plumber or shady HVAC guy, and I don't mean my buddy Jay, but and somebody goes in there and they actually create more problems while they're there, so that you have to buy a whole new system. It's kind of like that. Kamala Harris created all the problems, but now you're supposed to hire her to fix all these problems that she created. She acknowledges America was better off under Trump, but says, hire me to fix the problems that we created. So she's running as a non-incumbent. But Biden hates her. He's coming tonight, Monday night. He's speaking the first night of the convention. Just so you understand how bad of a speaking slot that is, Monday night, the hot tour girl has a better speaking slot later this week. That's kind of a joke, but probably not. Monday night, the president of the United States is going to speak. Kamala Harris doesn't accept the nomination until Thursday night, and he won't be there. Dr. Jill Biden. You always have to say that by law, of course, as you understand. Not going to be there Thursday night. No, they hate her. And they're very unhappy that this coup took place where he was shivved out of the race by Barack Obama. So he doesn't want to be part of this. He doesn't want to give her the presidency, but at the same time, he needs her. And the reason why is because of a scathing House report that came out earlier today saying that the Bidens have personally taken about $27 million. $27 million. The House GOP and their investigation, Jim Comer's committee, they've concluded that Joe Biden personally enriched himself to the tune of $27 million from various corrupt countries, including Ukraine and Russia, China, and let's not forget the lesser corrupt country, Romania, but still a corrupt country. So he needs her in the White House to protect him so that the Trump Justice Department doesn't open up any investigations into him. But at the same time, he hates her and is not happy with the fact that he woke up one day and found out he had just resigned the president. Well, resigned as the party's nominee. Because somebody put that letter out there, and even the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi, acknowledged it did not sound like Joe Biden. You remember her saying that? She said, that letter just didn't sound like Joe. Yeah, because he didn't write it, because they pushed him out. He was surprised. If people were surprised when Joe Biden decided to get out of the race, nobody was more surprised than Joe Biden. Bottom line. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We have Congresswoman Kat Kamick joining us. We've got Laura Trump joining us live from the Democrat National Convention here in Chicago. I don't want to be here. I'm not happy about the fact that I'm here. I'm not worried, though. Mama Zioli is very worried. I have not one but two voicemails she left me this morning telling me to be careful, baby, and I will play them for you. You will get to hear Mama Zioli and her concerns as she is very, very worried about her firstborn son. But I'm not worried, and the reason why is because the protesters are all in a designated zone far, far away from here. And the other reason I'm not worried is because, quite frankly, after I got my free vasectomy at the vasectomy truck outside, where I got my complimentary two vegan tacos, I'm feeling like I just need to go back to the hotel and ice up anyway. So I'm not really too worried about being down in downtown Chicago. But I can tell you, it is going to be crazy as Democrat protesters take to the streets tonight to protest their very own party and their party's support for Israel. Democrat whack jobs, the crazy, because they still have not locked down the crazy. And so Chicago's answer is not to say, don't come here. Chicago's answer is to say, we'll board up the businesses so that the wackos can do their thing, and we'll just try to have minimal damage as a result. Think of the message that sends to the protesters, to the lawless left. It says, come on, it's open season here in Chicago. We'll do everything we can to protect the minimal amount of damage, but there's still going to be damage. We anticipate it, and we welcome it. Welcome to Chicago, where you have a George Soros-funded prosecutor, a Democrat mayor, decades of Democrat corruption here in Chicago. We'll be right back.
The Zioli Show, on your schedule, from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Tell you what, DeSantis had the Italian beef sandwich yesterday?
From Portillo's.
Oh, was it good?
Very good.
Yeah?
I think it's the best of all the fast food, I gotta be honest.
All right. That's a bold statement. You realize
that, Portillo's on the East Coast. Yeah, I reckon. I'm a fast food junkie. I love fast food. No one loves it more than I do.
Right? I know. I can't believe you haven't stuffed your face with fries yet here at the conventions at the United Center.
Trying to be gentlemanly.
I understand. I get it. I gotta watch my girlish figure since, you know, I'm doing more TV these days. If you missed Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Failla, I was on there Saturday. It was a lot of fun. We had a good time. And I was on there in the past with Congresswoman Kat Kamick, so we wanted to call in, but I believe she might be running late right now. These things are always kind of up, these logistical challenges, but they've had a very, very busy day on Capitol Hill today with a scathing new report on Biden and the Biden crime family. And what they found around the corruption of Joe Biden is just amazing. But let me welcome to the show Congresswoman Kat Kamick. Congresswoman, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, my friend?
Great. You know, I was just saying, you and I shared the stage on Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Failla just a couple weeks ago. It was so fun hanging with you. It was a great hang.
It was. We had a lot of fun. Of course, it is very difficult not to cuss on national television.
Yes. And yet you did. You held yourself. Your decorum was excellent, I have to say.
Well, I appreciate it. It's tough when you're sitting between two comedians, three if you count Jimmy, but, you know.
Talk to me about this report that came out about Joe Biden and all the money he's taken.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, one, is anyone surprised? Two, we've known this all along. Three, we've reported on this. This just confirms it. But I just don't think, quite honestly, that there is an appetite to act on it. You know, it's kind of like, you know, finding out, you know, someone coming out and saying what everyone in the room has known all along. You know, it's all like that person went in the bathroom and did a number two, and we all smell it. We've all acknowledged it. It's just kind of been that thing lingering in the room. You know, it's just one of those situations where I'm sitting here thinking, like, yeah, we've known. We've proven it. We've got the receipts. But the political will in Washington never seems to change to actually do something about it. And that's what's incredibly frustrating, one of the most incredibly frustrating things about Washington.
It's probably the greatest and most apropos analogy ever, that somebody, you know, dropped the deuce and it's completely ruined, and we're just pretending like it didn't happen. What are you?
Sorry, I mean, you know what you're getting with me. You know, come on.
That's why I love you. That's why I'm glad you're here. I mean, it's why I want you on. I want you on the show every week. You kidding me? I want you to co-host the show with me. Basically, that's how I want to. That's how I want to roll. Talk to me about the protesters that we're seeing here at the Democrat National Convention. I mean, isn't it amazing how they can't lock down their own crazy people? And isn't it amazing that the city of Chicago is not saying, "Hey, don't try this crap here"? City of Chicago is just boarding up businesses, knowing that they're not going to be able to control them.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, bless their hearts, as we would say in the South. These people are so deeply confused. You know, the convention, whether it's the DNC or the RNC, it's supposed to be a major economic boom to the local businesses. And, you know, you can starkly contrast that with what we saw in Milwaukee for the Republican convention. I walked around the, I'm using air quotes, you know, protest. There wasn't even protest. There was, you know, a few handful of people with, you know, misspelled signs and, you know, just walking around being idiots. But, you know, no one was giving them a hard time. There were no businesses boarded up. Everybody had doors wide open. It was a great time. Now you have people in Chicago literally boarding up like there's a hurricane coming. And you have people holding signs saying "Queers for Palestine." Like, mm-hmm. These people are deeply confused. They clearly have no idea what they're talking about. I feel like the Princess Bride, that scene where he says, "You keep using that word. I don't think you know what it means."
Important reminder, by the way, if you are in Kat Kamick's district in Florida, tomorrow's primary day, and we do have a lot of listeners in Florida, so please, you know, cast your vote. She's outstanding. We love you. What do you and two, to think about now that we have, and I saw that, you know, a lot of this situation with Kamala Harris, what she's going out there and saying with price gouging, as she put it, price gouging, and wanting price controls and bread lines. How annoying, Congresswoman, do you think the gluten-free bread lines are going to be?
Oh, Lord. Oh, you know, this is what's so interesting about the people who have the codes as bumper stickers on the back of their Priuses, is they literally don't have a clue of what it means to coexist, right? I mean, we're seeing that at the DNC with, you know, you have to be separated into whatever box you check. You know, if you're white, you got to be in this group. If yep. you're, if you identify as a certain pronoun, you know, you're in that group. And by the way, their pronoun lists are longer than their policies, which explains the ideas that come out, which, as you alluded to, the price controls. I mean, it's like this idiotic statement we've heard our entire life. Oh, socialism, communism is great. You know, except it's never worked because it wasn't tried here.
Right.
We haven't had an opportunity to bankrupt this country yet. You know, these people, they need to crack a history book, and not one of the Common Core history books, but one of, like, the real, actual history books that tells it like it is, where we're talking serious famine, starvation, rationing of not just food, but health care and basic supplies, services. Absolutely ludicrous that this is where we've come to. And coming from a military family on a more serious note, what a slap in the face to every single person who put on a uniform to defend the republic. Not a communist nation, but a constitutional republic that values the individual and individual freedoms more so than socialist government control, right? It is such a disgrace. And, you know, if my grandparents were here, they would be absolutely livid. And I think that's all the more reason why my fellow millennials and I and the Gen Zs who are coming up right behind us, we've got to get out. We've got to do not just the voting, but we've got to actually get to the polls and work the polls and help support candidates up and down the ballot. Our lives are going to be dramatically changed if Kamala Harris wins this election. Because remember, it's not just a second term for Biden or Obama's third or fourth term, as many people are calling it. It's actually looking at 12 years of this nonsense, because she will invest so much in claiming that second term for herself that we will be living, I'm sure, in a socialist state if she wins this election in November.
Yeah, Congresswoman, you're 100% right on that point. And you know, the last thing, too, on that note of our military, they are so stretched thin right now in all these various conflicts around the world, and there's no plan to do anything about it. And I think that one of the reasons why the left is so terrified of another term for Trump is that that's going to change, and it should change, because we can't continue down this road.
No, I mean, it's unsustainable. I mean, the problem with socialism is you eventually run out of other people's money. Mm-hmm. You know, and I just saw where the Harris campaign is proposing a corporate tax increase, I think to 28-29%, which, again, they must have failed economics 101, because guess what? It's not government that creates jobs. It's private industry and the private sector that does. And so when you're having to pay more in corporate taxes, you're not going to be investing in long-term capital projects. You're not going to be creating new positions. We're going to see a further hit on the economy. And if you think that things are bad now, just wait until she gets in there. And again, it's not really her or Biden that's running things. It's these activist socialist kids that are really running the show over there. This is all going to be about a feel-good, look at what we're doing with price controls, you know, at the expense of what is reality to the rest of us who live,
yeah,
you know, paycheck to paycheck.
I did see one of your fellow millennial Gen Zers put out a comment on social media about rents and how expensive rents are. And they said, you know, this administration has driven up the pricing and the inflation and everything. And so when she comes out and she says, we're going to have more rent controls and more government subsidized housing, and we're going to give first time home buyers a credit. But I mean, all these other things, it's again going to interfere in the marketplace in such a way you're going to inevitably have less supply, and the government can't build houses. The best thing you could do if you want to actually, and I know you know this, if you want to increase houses or apartments or condos or anything else, would be to cut regulations.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, and I know this is probably the least sexy topic on the planet, the regulatory regime, but it's one of my absolute favorites, because it really gets to the core of what draining the swamp means. If you want to drain the swamp, you got to get rid of the nameless, faceless, unelected bureaucrats that dwell in basements all over Washington, because they're the ones that are driving an additional $2 trillion coming out of our pockets every single year. If you're in Florida, that's $15,000 per family that you're taking a hit of in regulations alone. That doesn't include all the inflationary costs of everything. And so, of course, economics 101, you know, there's no such thing as a free lunch. This 22-25% increase on rent alone, it's a huge hit, especially with people who are trying to save to buy a home, that are trying to, or heaven forbid, you're on a fixed income. There's no wiggle room. And so for us, I mean, I think that there are things that we should be doing to incentivize people to save more, to get into better housing situations. But anyone who grew up in a blue-collar work background like I did, I didn't grow up in government housing, but I didn't grow up in the middle class. That was definitely blue-collar. I had friends that grew up in government housing. It's not nice. It's not cute. And most of the time, it's not safe. And it's not something that you should aspire to have the government trying to build houses and house people. It's, one, not the role of the government, particularly the federal government, and two, the outcome that we're seeking is personal property. That is a fundamental tenet in the Constitution, in what our founding fathers envisioned, and it should be what everyone aspires to. Because believe me, the thing that the government can give you, they will absolutely take away. And that's been proven time and time again. So I doubt in any way that these policies that she's proposing, while they sound nice and rosy on paper, will have any tangible benefit to people my age or, quite frankly, any American.
Follow Congresswoman Kat Kamik on X, at Kat_Kamik. Great. Good luck tomorrow in your primary election. I know you got this, but keep up the great work. You are outstanding. We really appreciate you.
I appreciate you, buddy. Thank you for the shout-out and for having me on, and you have a great week. Enjoy the DNC. Too much content.
Please. I'm here because I lost a bet with God. Thanks, Congresswoman.
Have a good one.
And we're going to go straight to the co-chair of the Republican National Committee, our friend Laura Trump. Laura, welcome back to the show. How you doing? Philadelphia's happy to have you.
Oh, well, thank you. It's always great to be with you. And now that I know you're officially at the DNC, I'll go ahead and say I'm sorry. But glad one of us is doing it, because we had a great time at the RNC, and that's all I needed. We're all set now.
Yeah, this is not nearly as fun. I'm just letting you know. I'm not feeling it. I don't have a warm, fuzzy feeling. And I got two voicemails from my mother this morning telling me to be careful.
Yeah, you probably didn't get those during the RNC, but no. I digress.
But I think there's something to be said, though, about the fact that the Milwaukee, the RNC was excellent, was fantastic. The protests were kind of minimal. I think it says a lot that Chicago was boarding up their businesses. It says a lot about the state of the Democrat Party today, doesn't it?
Well, exactly. It is. I mean, it is all very reflective of the two different parties. If you look at the city of Milwaukee.
The Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Tell you what, DeSantis had the Italian beef sandwich yesterday?
From Portillo's.
Oh, that wasn't good.
Very good.
Yeah?
I think it's the best of all the fast food, I gotta be honest.
All right. That's a bold statement. You realize that,
Portillo's,
right?
On the East Coast. Yeah, I reckon. I'm a fast food junkie. I love fast food. No one loves it more than I do.
Right? I know. I can't believe you haven't stuffed your face with fries yet here at the conventions at the United Center.
I'm trying to be gentlemanly.
I understand. I get it. I gotta watch my girlish figure since, you know, I'm doing more TV these days. If you missed Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Fallon, I was on there Saturday. It was a lot of fun. We had a good time. And I was on there in the past with Congresswoman Kat Kamik, so we wanted her to call in, but I believe she might be running late right now. These things are always kind of up, these logistical challenges, but they've had a very, very busy day on Capitol Hill today with a scathing new report on Biden and the Biden crime family. And what they found around the corruption of Joe Biden is just amazing. But let me welcome to the show Congresswoman Kat Kamik. Congresswoman, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, my friend?
Great. You know, I was just saying, you and I shared the stage on Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Fallon just a couple weeks ago. It was so fun hanging with you. It was a great hang.
It was. We had a lot of fun. Of course, it is very difficult not to cuss on national television.
Yes. And yet you did. You held yourself. Your decorum was excellent, I have to say.
Well, I appreciate it. It's tough when you're sitting between two comedians, three if you count Jimmy, but, you know.
Talk to me about this report that came out about Joe Biden and all the money he's taken.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, one, is anyone surprised? Two, we've known this all along. Three, we've reported on this. This just confirms it. But I just don't think, quite honestly, that there is an appetite to act on it. You know, it's kind of like, you know, finding out, you know, someone coming out and saying what everyone in the room has known all along. You know, it's all like that person went in the bathroom and did a number two, and we all smell it. We've all acknowledged it. It's just kind of been that thing lingering in the room. You know, it's just one of those situations where I'm sitting here thinking, like, yeah, we've known. We've proven it. We've got the receipts. But the political will in Washington never seems to change to actually do something about it. And that's what's incredibly frustrating, one of the most incredibly frustrating things about Washington.
It's probably the greatest and most apropos analogy ever, that somebody, you know, dropped a deuce and it's completely ruined, and we're just pretending like it didn't happen. What are you?
Sorry, I mean, you know what you're getting with me. You know, come on.
That's why I love you. That's why I'm glad you're here. I mean, that's why I want you on. I want you on the show every week. You kidding me? I want you to co-host the show with me. Basically, that's how I want to. That's how I want to roll. Talk to me about the protesters that we're seeing here at the Democrat National Convention. I mean, isn't it amazing how they can't lock down their own crazy people? And isn't it amazing that the city of Chicago is not saying, "Hey, don't try this crap here"? City of Chicago is just boarding up businesses, knowing that they're not going to be able to control them.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, bless their hearts, as we would say in the South. These people are so deeply confused. You know, the convention, whether it's the DNC or the RNC, it's supposed to be a major economic boom to the local businesses. And, you know, you can starkly contrast that with what we saw in Milwaukee for the Republican convention. I walked around the, I'm using air quotes, you know, protest. There wasn't even protest. There was, you know, a few handful of people with, you know, misspelled signs and, you know, just walking around being idiots. But, you know, no one was giving them a hard time. There were no businesses boarded up. Everybody had doors wide open. It was a great time. Now you have people in Chicago literally boarding up like there's a hurricane coming. And you have people holding signs saying, "Queers for Palestine." Like, these people are deeply confused. They clearly have no idea what they're talking about. I feel like the Princess Bride, that scene where he says, "You keep using that word, I don't think you know what it means."
Important reminder, by the way, if you are in Kakamix District in Florida, tomorrow's primary day, and we do have a lot of listeners in Florida, so please, you know, cast your vote. She's outstanding. We love you. What do you and two, to think about now that we have, and I saw that, you know, a lot of this situation with Kamala Harris, what she's going out there and saying with price gouging, as she put it, price gouging, and wanting price controls and bread lines. How annoying, Congresswoman, do you think the gluten-free bread lines are going to be?
Oh, Lord. You know, this is what's so interesting about the people who have the coexist bumper stickers on the back of their Priuses, is they literally don't have a clue of what it means to coexist, right? I mean, we're seeing that at the DNC with, you know, you have to be separated into whatever box you check. You know, if you're white, you got to be in this group. If you're if you identify as a certain pronoun, you know, you're in that group. And by the way, their pronoun lists are longer than their policies, which explains the ideas that come out, which, as you alluded to, the price controls. I mean, it's like this idiotic statement we've heard our entire life. Oh, socialism, communism is great. You know, except it's never worked because it wasn't tried here.
Right.
We haven't had an opportunity to bankrupt this country yet. You know, these people, they need to crack a history book, and not one of the Common Core history books, but one of, like, the real, actual history books that tells it like it is, where we're talking serious famine, starvation, rationing of not just food, but health care and basic supplies, services. Absolutely ludicrous that this is where we've come to. And coming from a military family on a more serious note, what a slap in the face to every single person who put on a uniform to defend the republic. Not a communist nation, but a constitutional republic that values the individual and individual freedoms more so than socialist government control, right? It is such a disgrace. And, you know, if my grandparents were here, they would be absolutely livid. And I think that's all the more reason why my fellow millennials and I and the Gen Zs who are coming up right behind us, we've got to get out. We've got to do not just the voting, but we've got to actually get to the polls and work the polls and help support candidates up and down the ballot. Our lives are going to be dramatically changed if Kamala Harris wins this election. Because remember, it's not just a second term for Biden or Obama's third or fourth term, as many people are calling it. It's actually looking at 12 years of this nonsense, because she will invest so much in claiming that second term for herself that we will be living, I'm sure, in a socialist state if she wins this election in November.
Yeah, Congresswoman, you're 100% right on that point. And you know, the last thing, too, on that note of our military, they are so stretched thin right now in all these various conflicts around the world, and there's no plan to do anything about it. And I think that one of the reasons why the left is so terrified of another term for Trump is that that's going to change, and it should change, because we can't continue down this road.
No, I mean, it's unsustainable. I mean, the problem with socialism is you eventually run out of other people's money. Mm-hmm. You know, and I just saw where the Harris campaign is proposing a corporate tax increase, I think to 28-29%, which, again, they must have failed economics 101, because guess what? It's not government that creates jobs. It's private industry and the private sector that does. And so when you're having to pay more in corporate taxes, you're not going to be investing in long-term capital projects. You're not going to be creating new positions. We're going to see a further hit on the economy. And if you think that things are bad now, just wait until she gets in there. And again, it's not really her or Biden that's running things. It's these activist socialist kids that are really running the show over there. This is all going to be about a feel-good look at what we're doing with price controls, you know, at the expense of what is reality to the rest of us who live, you know, pay to pay.
I did see one of your fellow millennial Gen Zers put out a comment on social media about rents and how expensive rents are. And they said, you know, this administration has driven up the pricing and the inflation and everything. And so when she comes out and she says, we're going to have more rent controls and more government subsidized housing, and we're going to give first time home buyers a credit. But I mean, all these other things, it's again going to interfere in the marketplace in such a way you're going to inevitably have less supply. And the government can't build houses. The best way you could do, well, the best thing you could do if you want to actually, and I know you know this, if you want to increase houses or apartments or condos or anything else, would be to cut regulations.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, and I know this is probably the least sexy topic on the planet, the regulatory regime, but it's one of my absolute favorites, because it really gets to the core of what draining the swamp means. If you want to drain the swamp, you got to get rid of the nameless, faceless, unelected bureaucrats that dwell in basements all over Washington, because they're the ones that are driving an additional $2 trillion coming out of our pockets every single year. If you're in Florida, that's $15,000 per family that you're taking a hit of in regulations alone. That doesn't include all the inflationary costs of everything. And so, of course, economics 101, you know, there's no such thing as a free lunch. This 22-25% increase on rent alone, it's a huge hit, especially with people who are trying to save to buy a home, that are trying to, or heaven forbid, you're on a fixed income. There's no wiggle room. And so for us, I mean, I think that there are things that we should be doing to incentivize people to save more, to get into better housing situations. But anyone who grew up in a blue-collar work background like I did, I didn't grow up in government housing, but I didn't grow up in the middle class. That was definitely blue-collar. I had friends that grew up in government housing. It's not nice. It's not cute. And most of the time, it's not safe. And it's not something that you should aspire to have the government trying to build houses and house people. It's, one, not the role of the government, particularly the federal government, and two, the outcome that we're seeking is personal property. That is a fundamental tenet in the Constitution, in what our founding fathers envisioned, and it should be what everyone aspires to. Because believe me, the thing that the government can give you, they will absolutely take away. And that's been proven time and time again. So I doubt in any way that these policies that she's proposing, while they sound nice and rosy on paper, will have any tangible benefit to people my age or, quite frankly, any American.
Follow Congresswoman Kat Kamik on X at Kat_Kamik. Great. Good luck tomorrow in your primary election. I know you got this, but keep up the great work. You are outstanding. We really appreciate you.
I appreciate you, buddy. Thank you for the shout out and for having me on. And you have a great week. Enjoy the DNC. Too much content.
Please. I'm here because I lost the bet with God. Thanks, Congresswoman.
Have a good one.
And we're going to go straight to the co-chair of the Republican National Committee, our friend Laura Trump. Laura, welcome back to the show. How you doing? Philadelphia's happy to have you.
Oh, well, thank you. It's always great to be with you. And now that I know you're officially at the DNC, I'll go ahead and say I'm sorry. But glad one of us is doing it, because we had a great time at the RNC, and that's all I needed. We're all set now.
Yeah, this is not nearly as fun. I'm just letting you know. I'm not feeling it. I don't have a warm, fuzzy feeling. And I got two voicemails from my mother this morning telling me to be careful.
Yeah, you probably didn't get those during the RNC, but no. I digress.
But I think there's something to be said, though, about the fact that the Milwaukee, the RNC was excellent, was fantastic. The protests were kind of minimal. I think it says a lot that Chicago is boarding up their businesses. It says a lot about the state of the Democrat Party today, doesn't it?
Well, exactly. It is. I mean, it is all very reflective of the two different parties. If you look at the city of Milwaukee, while we were there for, I mean, look, you know, we had people on the ground there for weeks, obviously, but for the 4 days of our convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the local businesses made a ton of money. It was very positive there. You know, you look at the other side of things there in Chicago, and man, could they use a little help in Chicago? Man, would it be nice for the local businesses to have, you know, money coming in instead of having to board up and head for the hills, essentially. It's really a shame, but it kind of speaks volumes about who these two parties are, what they stand for, and truly what life is like whenever you have one in office and whenever you have the other in office. If you want a Chicago-esque type of country, if you want to board up, if you want riots, if you want, you know, crazy people and giant uteruses, I guess, erected outside of buildings, and I guess the Democrats are your party. If you're looking to lose money instead of gain money, if you're looking to feel unsafe, then that's your group. But if you're looking for the other side of things, more money in your pocket, safer communities, you know, a family type environment and posturing in that direction, then it's a Republican Party that you should call home. And I think a lot of people felt that way when they watched our convention. We really wanted to make it about the people of this country. That's why night after night you heard from real Americans, people who some of whom had voted Democrat their entire life, some of whom had never been political before and would have never imagined speaking at a political convention, but truly said that, you know, this is a time where they can't be silent any longer. And they wanted to talk about how their lives have all been taken in the wrong direction by the Democrats and how they are supporting President Trump and Republicans this go round in this election in 2024. And so, yeah, you just contrast, Rich, before things even really get kicked off and underway, just the feeling around the two cities, Milwaukee versus Chicago, and it kind of lays out a very clear picture, I think, for people.
Yeah, so well said. Laura Trump's with me. It's great to have her, the co-chair of the Republican National Committee. You and your husband, Eric, are doing a great job. And by the way, I know it was birthday for one of your kids. You guys had a nice little weekend.
Very, yeah, thank you. My daughter, Carolina, turned 5 today, and we did a big Trump boat parade in Florida yesterday, so we had a great time.
That's excellent. You should follow Laura, by the way, at Laura Lee Trump. The other point, too, is that, I mean, when Kamala Harris came out on Friday acknowledging all the blame, the destruction of this economy under her presidency, her vice presidency, and then stealing President Trump's ideas on no tax on tips, but implementing price gauging controls and all of these other things and coming out and acting like she had nothing to do with this, like she was just somebody who went on a White House tour one day and wound up the nominee. When she was vice president of the United States, this happened in her administration, and they even said after the disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal that she was the last person in the room. They're very proud of that fact. So the idea that she's trying to walk away from this and say that she has no responsibility here is just outrageous.
No, the whole thing, Rich, is outrageous. The whole thing. Joe Biden said it would take an act of God for him to drop out of this race. 48 hours later, he posts on X, he's dropping out, not going to seek re-election.
Do you imagine how surprised he was when that happened?
Yeah, imagine how surprised he was when they told him. Yeah, then, you know, in the least Democratic way possible, you have Kamala Harris just plugged on in. And by the way, if people think back to about 3 months ago, there were so many people who were questioning Kamala Harris as Joe Biden's running mate when they were talking about the possibility of Joe Biden possibly stepping aside and not seeking re-election. All these people were saying it really can't be Kamala Harris because she's so unpopular. Everyone knows she's failed as borders are and as her job at her job as vice president. And then all of a sudden, we're supposed to think that things have the tables have turned 180 degrees and somehow she's this incredible politician, this person who everyone should be turning to for the answers. Rich, to your point, she's been there for 3.5 years. She has, I've been in the White House so many times. Her office is steps away from the Oval Office. You can go down there at any moment, talk to Joe Biden. You guys are a team. You own every single policy, Kamala Harris, that you and Joe Biden put in place that has taken this country in the wrong direction. And I would really like to see how these Democrats are going to gaslight people over the next 4 days into thinking that somehow Kamala doesn't own every single policy. That speech you referenced on Friday, I mean, I've never heard something crazier. It really felt to me a little bit like she's running for like class president or something and not president of the United States. The promises of it's price gouging. And I guess she said price gauging. I don't know what they wrote on her teleprompter because, you know, just point her in the direction of the teleprompter. She'll say literally anything on there.
Her she's like Ron Burgundy.
Yeah, literally. Her crack team came up with this whole thing for her. And yet every single economist out there, even the ones on the left, have said, this is preposterous. This is communist. There's no way to even regulate prices. What kind of country are we going to live in if this sort of thing is implemented? But it's like, oh, yeah, no Fridays if you vote for me for your school president. It's crazy stuff. And then the only things that make sense are the policies she steals from Donald Trump. Get ready for 4 days, ladies and gentlemen, of total chaos and gaslighting by this party, because that is the only thing, Rich, they can actually do. They can't be honest with the American people. They can only repeat lies like Project 2025, which Donald Trump has denounced, the RNC has denounced, the campaign has denounced time and time again and said we have nothing to do with this, yet they continue to spew that garbage out to the American people. They're running on nothing, and they're running on abortion. That's the policy platform of the Democrats. It's terrifying in so many ways, though, because if people are not smart enough to do a little bit of research, these people could end up in the White House. And I really mean it when I say it is the end of America. Communist policies put in place, complete inept groups of people taking charge of our government. If you thought it was bad now, it'll be like this, but on steroids. If Kamala and Tim Walz get a hold of this country, please go out and vote for Donald Trump and Republicans down the ticket. It's the only way we save America.
Yeah, so well said, my friend. You always bring the heat and the thunder. We appreciate it. I will say one thing before I let you go, though. There were people dressed up as abortion pills dancing in the streets. I kid you not.
Oh, my God.
And there's a vasectomy truck right outside here. Yeah. Where you can get a free vasectomy. You didn't have that in Milwaukee, and I was kind of bummed about that because I had to go home and schedule it with my doctor. So I'm just – my only complaint, my only critique – of the RNC. That's it.
Yeah. I'm sorry you couldn't get your snow cone and vasectomy at the same time, Rich, when you were in Milwaukee. We'll try to shape up for next time. This is what the party is. Think of what a joke we look like to Xi Jinping. Think of what a joke we look like to our adversaries and allies around the world. They're watching this. We look ridiculous. It's a real disaster. Wow.
Follow her at Laura Lee Trump. Keep up the great work. The co-chair of the Republican National Committee. Thank you so much for joining us here in Philadelphia. We appreciate it.
You got it. Always. Thanks a lot.
All right. As we continue along here live from the Democrat National Convention, I just want to thank our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, for being a great friend and sponsor of the show. You know, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, you should make your appointment today to go see Dr. Mike. Yes, Mama Zioli first discovered him for our family, but people have been going to him for years. And for 10 consecutive years, Dr. Mike has been recognized as a top dentist in New Jersey by his peers. That's right. among his peers. 856-786-2020 is the number. 856-786-2020, or visit VanariaDental.com. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. I promise you, you'll have an amazing experience, and you're going to get the smile of your dreams, because Dr. Mike understands firsthand how important it is to get this right. That's why other dentists send their patients to Dr. Mike for very complicated dental implants and dental work. Now, I can tell you the firsthand, because the entire Zioli family goes to Dr. Mike Veneria. Bridget has a beautiful new smile. It was beautiful before, but she needed her veneers replaced. Dr. Mike put on some beautiful caps, and she looks absolutely stunning. So what are you waiting for? Reach out to Dr. Mike today, 856-786-2020, or go to VanariaDental.com. It's V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Like I said, two locations to serve you, in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, right over the bridge, VanariaDental.com.
Rich Zioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.